Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download Bashani Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download Bashani Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Get visibility like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
Welcome to the SEO Queen Tech Show, a podcast to help you get more credibility, visibility, and profitability through inspiration, technology, and marketing insight. This podcast is for professionals and entrepreneurs who are looking to get more customers, clients, and patients. We are broadcast worldwide on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the SEO Queen Tech Show on any mobile phone or tablet device. Also, as a thank you gift for listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show, you can go to seoqueen.com and download the free ebook, 101 Ways to Improve Your Marketing and Sales. So today's topic is all about impact. And my special guest is fellow Long Beach Poly alumni and friend, Chaplain John McClung. He is the founder and owner of I Am a Testimony Clothing Collection and the chief operating officer of Z7 NetBrace and co-founder of the Kingdom Connection Media Group. He currently resides in Atlanta by way of Long Beach, California. He is the elder son of the late Pastor John E. McClung Sr., former pastor at Living Word Missionary Baptist Church in Long Beach, California. He's a graduate of University of Phoenix with 3 degrees, an MBA in business management, a BS in business, and he is also a life messenger and inspirational speaker and member of Black Belt Speakers. He is the author of the best-selling book, Spiritual Message Moments, God's Guide to Getting Back on Track, R-A-C-K. Mr. McClung is a 35-year professional in the customer service and leadership industry, trainer and mentor. He is also a highly sought-after speaker because of his ability to engage his audience in topics he presents. His high power delivery and dynamic stage presence is one to be fully enjoyed and admired. I want to present to some and introduce to others, none other than my friend, Chaplain John McClung.
Man, you're a good hype lady. that was a great intro, even if he read it. But it's an honor to be here with you, Z. Thank you for having me on your show and your platform. I'm looking forward to having an amazing conversation with you.
Yes, yes, yes. So I have to ask you, what inspired you to become a professional speaker? Was it watching your father preach as a child, or what planted the seed for you?
It was prayed on me. One of the things that I found out later in my teenagehood, one of the things that my father did, because my mom had a couple of miscarriages prior to me being born. So my father, had a great conversation with the Lord and said that if he blesses him with the son, he would give him back and he would ask the Lord to call him to preach. So you can't get away from that. No matter what you do, that's a bond. Right. You know what I'm saying? That's a vow and a bond and a promise and a covenant. It's got everything in there. You're gifted. So as much as I tried to get away from it, Z, I couldn't. And I did for a while. I mean, I was like the prodigal son and wanted to do my thing out in the world. And, but I kept my balance and foundation sense to not do anything crazy, but I got an opportunity to learn some things that helps me identify with people so that when I do speak and talk and have an opportunity to counsel or, be able to be a sounding board and respond to specific things, even the things we learned at an early age, is more authentic and more transparent. So I really started taking it serious the last probably 6 or 7 years, and really, really serious over the last couple of years, which has given me an opportunity to do some things in the speaking industry.
Oh, wow. As you had this calling on your life, and as a preacher's kid, because I'm a preacher's kid too, how has that kind of shaped your approach to, speaking and business?
You know, from a speaking dynamic, it really was a second nature type thing because of, watching it all my life. You know, I've been in the ministry over 50 years. And so, starting early, I've been in front of people since probably 3 or 4 years old, quoting the books of the Bible and all those things, because, we always had the Proverbs,
The Easter and the
Hey, teaching Sunday school and Bible study, so
Right, reviewing the Sunday
oh
lesson.
yeah, and then with my father being the pastor, we started the church, so we were the church for quite some time. So there was a lot of things that we learned early, but being in front of people, especially the amount of individuals we had to be in front of at a young age, that removed all the fear. Not knowing at that time that we would be doing it certain things, because my brother's the pastor of my father's church now, so we're still in front of people. So there was a comfort level, but it was like, and then it became your subject matter more than anything, and especially from a business aspect. My father, one of the things that he did for us from a standpoint of presentations and business, he gave us like a 4-step process that just works for anybody in any situation. And so that's been my mantra for years, and it has made it easy to speak and do business.
So your father gave you a 4-step speaking formula?
Yeah, and I mean, when I tell you the presentation formula is so simple, it's have a subject, know your subject. Or have a message, know your message, include people in your message, and make sure they leave with something from your message. So if you think about that from a business, you got to have a product, you got to know your product, you got to include people in your product, and they got to leave with something from your product.
Oh wow, I love that. That's
Yeah, I
great.
mean, let's you can't go wrong. And it's what
No,
I've
you can't
used,
go wrong.
it's what I've used for the length of time, that I've, since probably early teenagehood all the way to now, and I teach it more than anything. It's part of one of my training courses, because that's one of the things when people go, when they go in front of audiences, the toughest challenge is having a topic, because they don't know really what to talk about. So you go, sometimes you go and wing it, and that's not going to work. So if you have your subject, you can always do all the research on your subject so that you are an expert in that, at least know it enough to do the other 3 steps.
So before we go into, I ask you more questions about how to overcome, challenges in speaking. I want to know, because I remember when you launched I Am a Testimony clothing line. What inspired you to launch that?
Man, Z, we've been around each other a while, and not too many people were there in the beginning, such as yourself, back in the days in Detroit. But, I went through a what I would consider a traumatic relationship experience, AKA divorce, but it was a weird kind of divorce. It wasn't one of them cool ones. And so, one of the things, because I thought it was a kind of a dark time. I had an opportunity to be a co-host on a friend of mine's show at the time of at her podcast, and this was like in 2008, 2009, 10. So it was just starting out, and so at the end, I would always say I am a testimony based on what I was going through, and it really didn't hit me. It was just one of them phrases that just was a good phrase, and so about a year later, the Lord laid in my spirit that that is your business. That's going to be your brand. And so around 2010, I had or 9 and 10, I started, wearing a shirt, but I hadn't gotten the design yet. And then the design hit me, and I finally got an opportunity to start it in 2011. And I've been for the last 10 years, I've been pushing that brand. I am a testimony. It's blessed a lot of people.
Oh, wow, that's awesome. So, since you've launched that brand, what are some lessons that you've learned about, starting and just bringing a product to market?
Man, number one, have a product. The biggest challenge is starting when you start a business, you're only going to start with 2 things, a product or a service. And so, to know that for me, I had to start with a product, but I had service skills. And the interesting thing is not to be fearful of going into something that's laid in you as a passion fearfully, even if you've never done it. I never printed t-shirts and, or, you know, did those things. I had done some stuff in high school, you know, where we did our shirts for, you know, for seniors and all that. So I've been around it. You know, there were some things that I did early that I really didn't take serious. It was a pastime at that moment. But when I started in the apparel business, I did the research for like 2 years. I didn't sell anything. I just started, you know, I wanted to make sure I have my design. So it was one of the biggest lessons is to do your R&D on whatever it is that you're going into. It's extremely important to do the RD&R. That's the research, development, and or data and relationships, RDR. Mm-hmm. If you do those three, then you can actually begin to do something, because a lot of people think it's money and it's not. I didn't start out with a lot of money. I started out with the research, development, and relationships, and was able to, you know, build and learn some things that allowed me actually.
Can I interrupt you right there? Yeah, you said something that really caught my attention. So you said it's not really the money. You said it's the research and the relationships. Can you expound on that?
Because absolutely.
I thought my business wouldn't grow more because of money, but I found out that, you know, I had a full bank account, but certain things weren't going right. So yeah, I want to know your perspective.
Absolutely. You know, my greatest investment other than myself was equipment. I think I spent $180 on a heat press. That was something I felt I had to have, but I didn't do that until like a year after I started the business. So when I talk about the research aspect, somebody has done whatever you've done before you, and you need to mirror that image in a way that, you know, one of the things I tell clients, find someone you can identify with and find out how they got from where they started to where they are today. Even though they may have multi-millions or they may not, they may have multi-thousands or multi-hundreds, but they did something to go from that ground level to that point that you can research and eliminate some of the steps that you need to take. So that ain't got nothing to do with money. You can go online and do that and research somebody that is in the same field you're in. So, you know, for me, that's one thing that I did. You know, I found a guy, Cartes, and he was already in online t-shirt business. He had been in, he was doing well. And I reached out. I said, you know, I wanted to become a member of what he was doing or just to build a relationship. And I did. And he responded because I was one of the few that probably sent something to him, although people were, you know, getting his membership. And he and I developed a relationship. I was able to find out this information. So there was information of somebody that was already doing and doing well and really eliminated some of the things to the point when I did, you know, take on some of the information that he was providing, it was just like added to some of the things that we had already been discussing. So it made it easier. And I still have his information to today. And then, you know, from the second part of that, relationships are a phone call. That's not money. It's phone call. It's conversations, it's an email. And one of the things that I found out was, and I still know this today and it still happens today, people who have been successful, whether it's small, medium, or great, if they've been successful in a particular area that you are familiar with or going into, the one thing that never happens to them is people ask them how they did it or reach out to them for help. And it's the very thing that people who are successful want you to do. See, they're not going to come find you because they've already done the groundwork. They're not looking for you. And if you should be looking for them. And if you look for them and reach out and ask, they will give you help. And I learned that. And so I got help from national and international. I got help in China and other places, and I developed some great relationships that I still have today that people I'm doing business with. It didn't cost me no money. You know, it helped me gain money, you know, from a standpoint of learning what to buy, you know, learning how to print, learning, you know, all the little intricacies, you know, that would allow me to be a better person as far as business.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. So because you reached out to other people who were doing what you aspired to do, you started developing relationships and gaining an understanding on how to do business in China and other places as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, that's powerful.
Yeah, because people that are really people who are successful want to be mentors. They want to be coaches. And, and they're willing, if a person reaches out to them, they're willing to give the and share the information freely, because that's not their expertise to sell it. So if you find the right individuals, even if you go online and do the research and just follow, the things they did, stuff like that, it's not costly. It's
wow, that's incredible.
Only thing you're losing is time. And you're not even losing time. You're gaining something for your time because you're doing the right research. And I think a lot of times people go, because we are, what I call solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, mempreneurs, mompreneurs, whatever, we singularly trying to build a brand. And we sometimes don't look at the fact that, of course, other people have done it. But who are the tangible people that are not out there trying to sell product? They just basically doing the work and wish somebody would ask them.
Wow. That is definitely a great nugget. Oh, my goodness. Well, people who are listening, make sure you favorite this episode in the app. If you're listening on the app, make sure you favorite it. Take some notes, because that was a great insight. So I want to ask you, when you talk about speaking, what are like some of the obstacles that entrepreneurs face when trying to present their products or services to audiences?
That's a great question. And it's one that I think plagues a lot of individuals who seek to share either their expertise or knowledge, or just seek to learn how to do it. And one is, most people don't believe anybody want to hear what they got to say, because they are uncomfortable thinking that what they'll share, it won't be received by this massive crowd that you need to have, hear it. And in most cases, one of the things, if you go on my website, the first thing it says is, let your voice be the medicine to somebody's headache. And why is that? Because there's somebody looking for your medicine. And your medicine could be just a little bit of information, or it could be your something that happens in your life. It could be your product, your service, but it'll never be medicine if you never talk about it. And that's one of the biggest things. People don't talk about something or what they're doing in a way that they have others believe in it. As a speaker, when you come out, I shared this with somebody in Africa. He wanted to be a speaker. I said, one thing you got to clearly understand, when you step on stage and you see people in the crowd, you didn't go to see them. Mm-hmm. They came to see you. So you don't have anything to fear, because they came to see you. So all you got to do is share your information. They either receive it or they don't, there to see you.
That's an awesome way to like have a great perspective. It's like, you don't have to imagine everybody naked or anything crazy like that. You can just accept the reality that they came to hear you speak.
You are on stage. It's like any other artist, a singer, a comedian, act, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. The comfort level is they came to see you, because evidently you have some medicine that's for them from a standpoint of them being able to hear. And what you might say may cure the headache they have in business, in a personal life, professional life, whatever it might be. But you got to be willing to share your information. And that's one of the biggest things that people have a struggle with, is believing that their information will help somebody, or how they can articulate it. That's the other thing. So some people, that the second biggest fear is public speaking. And so, that's why I got my online course, or my course I'm getting ready, that I'm finishing up, Stage Fright to Stage Famous, because that's the first thing. People have stage fright. They don't want to be in front of people because they don't know if they're going to stutter and all this other kind of stuff. And, but once you get over the stage fright, you can become stage famous. And stage famous is either in front of one person or 101 person. So it doesn't make a difference.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. So your course, Stage Fright to Stage Famous, what other obstacles or limiting beliefs do you help speakers or business owners get over so that they can speak effectively and comfortably on stages? Oh,
great question. It's formulated in those four steps. Have a message, know your message, include people in your message, make sure they take something from your message. So the one of the things that you know, this course does, or even in the training or coaching that I do for individuals that really want to, that want to learn how to be in front of people, is to be willing to, to know, even if you don't think you have a particular topic, you have a particular experience in your life that you can use as a topic. So that's one of the things that we sometimes overlook is our experiences that we can actually talk about, because everybody has something that someone can identify with. And that's the thing. You know, you have to have something in your life or you know, or some type of product or some type of service that people can identify with. And once you recognize that, then that's where you can hone in on that particular subject matter and, or message. And then you can, you know, start doing the other pieces of the puzzle to it, the other three steps. But once, you know, once I dive in with somebody and find out what they're passionate about, what they love, what they've been hurt or, you know, something they've been trying to get over, whatever those things might be, then that's where we start. And then we can actually build around that.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. So what other tips would you have for business owners who are, you know, working on being more effective speaking? I know there's a lot of online presentations that are happening because of the social distancing, and, you know, live events are slowly but surely coming back. So what other insight would you, can you share?
Let me tell you something. So, you know, one of the most challenging thing people have is testing on themselves. So they won't record themselves and then watch it again. The funny thing is, I tell my clients, if you do a recording, which anybody that wants to speak should always just find a little 5 minute, you know, I do the 3-5-7, you know, do a 3 minute talk, a 5 minute talk, and a 7 minute talk. Because if you can, then you can build it to a 10, 15, and 25 minute talk. But at least do something for 3 minutes in on camera and then watch it. Either, you know, you got to watch it two different ways. You got to watch it without sound and you got to watch it with sound. And so if you...
Why do you watch with and without sound?
Perfect question. So if you watch it with sound, you get an opportunity to just see how you articulate, whether you have a bunch of ands and ums and all that. You know, you're going to have some every once in a while. But if you have too many, then you can actually hear it. Or if you have gaps, or if you catch yourself, you know, thinking it or get caught in the middle of a sentence, you know, you're not fluid. You get a chance to hear it. And the one thing that that triggers you is hearing your own voice, because when you hear your own voice, it triggers your body to respond in a way that you can say, okay, we need to work here, here, here. So if somebody tells you that, it's a little different how you receive it. But if you hear it, then you can say,
it's intuitively obvious.
Yes, exactly. So if you hear it without sound, then you get a chance to see your body movement without trying to concentrate on the words. And you can see where you're fluctuating, where you emphasizing, or you got caught in the middle of a thing.
That's right.
Because you know what I'm saying? Because you're watching yourself, you're going, what happened right there? And so you know what I'm saying? So you can say, oh, now I can put these together because I wasn't clear on that one. And I can see I wasn't. Or, you know, you'll turn your eyes, you see your facial expressions. And so it's cool to watch yourself without sound because you don't get lost in your voice.
You can see when you're looking crazy.
Yeah, I've had some funny ones, you know.
And no, not to do that, so you can.
Yeah, you know, you got your hands going in the wrong, you know, for the wrong reasons and all kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, yeah. So I always tell my clients, you know, watch whatever, if you do it in three, whatever time frame you read, even if you read something, but if you record something, you know, watch yourself with the sound and without the sound so you can see whether you're fluent and all the other things that go along with it.
Man, those are some powerful tips to watch yourself with and without the sound. Mm-hmm. So you can hear and see what you're doing, so you can see what to improve.
Think about this. Let me interject real quick. Think about this. So the last year and a half, of course, in the pandemic, you couldn't go to church, right? So now you had all these pastors who are used to having people out front, right? Giving them feedback and, you know, they preach and they hear the amens and all that. And then it disappeared. And the biggest struggle they had was talking in front of the camera without people.
Wow.
That was the most difficult.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. And so they were, a lot of them, they would preach the same exact way without adjusting based on what they were used to hearing coming back to them. And now you don't have that. So you don't even know whether or not people are responding. So if you've never practiced right. it, you're like lost. And I've watched a lot of pastors just look like deer in headlights. it was funny because they never,
in front of Zoom.
Just never had opportunity.
You know what's so funny? I think Saturday Night Live did a skit where they had Kenan. Kenan was a pastor, and they had everybody on Zoom, and everybody was unmuted and would talk. And then he was like, "You need to be quiet. You need to mute." And then when he said, "Now everybody say amen," and everybody was muted, he couldn't hear anything. I thought that was hilarious.
So you don't know nobody responding or anything. And that, hey, listen, that is so real to watch, you know, especially like one of the other things, you know, because they had to learn how to stream. Their, you know, the lighting was horrible. They was way back in the back. They were trying to film with a phone and all kinds of stuff. So
you know who I saw who did amazing with the live stream sermons? T.D. Jakes.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see any of his sermons? He had special effects. He had lighting.
But he'd been in entertainment. He'd been in the movie right. industry. So, you know, right. he used to being in front of camera without people where that was he had a great advantage of doing that. And versus a lot of right. other ones, they didn't.
Well, I know Bishop Jakes, I watched some of his sermons and I was like,
he still had an audience, huh?
He literally had his sermons choreographed. Yeah, it was so impactful, and I was just like, wow, that is amazing. I was so impressed.
Yeah. He wanted a few.
Yeah, he's definitely one of my my boyfriend's favorite ministers watch online. But I wanted to ask you this book that you're writing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
From stage fright to
stage famous.
Stage famous. From stage mm-hmm. fright to stage famous.
Yeah, how to impact your audience for the first time.
So I want to know what inspired you to write this book, and when is this book going to be available?
Two good questions. All right, so the inspiration of the book. I've been around, you know, again, I've been around speaking for a long time, but the professional speaking over the last few years, what I've watched, especially for presentations, is the fear of individuals not being taught how to be in front of people. And they have the passion to do it, but they don't have the steps to do it. So they do it, you know, they wing it, they get opportunities. You know, I've watched people get out of opportunities to speak because they knew somebody and they invited them in. And they just, it looked like it sounded good, but it was, whoo, man, they didn't have the etiquette, because there's etiquette to speaking. And so a lot of times there are moments where you don't have the opportunity to put your hand on someone that can walk you through the process of how to actually go through the speaking from a standpoint of having your speech well-rounded to the point of really overcoming, really presenting it. And so that's one of the things that I saw, that granted, there are a lot of individuals who do the coaching and training, but at a beginner's level, there's not a lot of people who want to take that time. And that was one of the things that I wanted to do, was take the time for individuals, you know, even individuals who are learning a new language, like the English language. You know, that's a form of speaking. So they want to be in front of people or be in groups where they have to articulate. And so that's a way that you can actually do that through speaking. And so, you know, one of the things that I thought was important, especially now, I'm an international speaker. So it's important to know that I've gone through that process to actually hold people's hands to say, listen, we can go through this, you know, 4-step process. My module, I think I have 8 modules that go along with it. And it really is simplistic, because see, you know, to be simplistic as far as speaking is a powerful thing, because it allows individuals to actually connect with you. And that's one of the things that is important when you are in front of people. They need to connect with you in a way, whether, you know, again, whether it's one or everybody, that they're involved in what you're speaking about, you know, and you want to be able to keep the dynamics as far as them understanding that you're personable, that you can reach out, that you're fun. You know, you have different great, you know, great stories that can be intertwined. So it's interesting that I'm in the process of finishing that course, and the enemy didn't like me wanting to finish the course because my computer crashed. But I'm looking to have it done by the end of the month. And then it'll be online and implemented. I'm going to create a small workbook to go along with it, and then have a couple courses, both live and online. And, you know, I want to help people overcome just the fear of speaking, you know, even, you know, in conversation or in small groups or large groups, because there are some individuals who are in corporations that panic when they have to do a presentation for their job because they're uncomfortable being in front of people. And so,
your course is good not only for entrepreneurs, but for also those who are working
for corporate people. Leadership roles absolutely, because that's every organization will provide a moment, especially for individuals in leadership or in management role or supervisor role. They're gonna provide a moment where you're gonna have to do some type of presentation in front of somebody. And when they find out, you know, I know some people, when they find out, oh, I gotta talk tomorrow at work, oh man, they can't sleep at night. You know, they don't, because they ain't confident in how they will present. And that's what I want to eliminate. I want to provide the opportunity, you know, once you get this this strategy down pat as far as these steps, and then intertwine all the other things that go along with it, that you're, you know, that you can be in front of anybody and be comfortable.
Wow, that's incredible. So from stage fright to stage famous.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So
and you know what? And what's funny, Z, you know, people think stage famous, oh, I'm going to be in front of a bunch. No, stage famous is the mere fact that you have overcome the fear of being in front of people. That's famous. That's because that's famous for you, because you went from something that you couldn't do to something that you learned to do. And so that takes you from stage fright to stage famous. And if you have an opportunity to get in front of big crowds, then, you know, that's, it makes you even more famous.
Now, is your book going to address both virtual speaking and in-person speaking?
Yes. Yeah. Virtual, of course, is something that we'll be doing from here on out in some aspect. And it has, you know, become more popular. And it's interesting because that's probably one of the ugliest ones, because people do not have virtual. They do not have virtual etiquette. So we got to teach virtual etiquette, you know, on how to be in front of the screen.
That was one of the questions I had for you. Yeah. You said there is speaking etiquette. And I know there are so many things I do naturally that I take for granted. So what are some things that people who grew up, like I grew up speaking in front of people.
Right.
And so I know before I launch into whatever I'm speaking, I acknowledge the house in which I'm speaking before I launch into it. So I know that's one etiquette. So what are some other etiquette tips that you can share with
us? Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's such a thing as protocols, you know, especially depending, as you know, for those of us like yourself who have probably spoken in church, there's protocols. When I was overseas over the last, a week or so ago, there was protocols, because you have to acknowledge, you know, they have dignitaries in certain aspects. So, you know, there's a way where you don't have to say all the names. You can say, you know, one of the things we learned, all protocols are observed, so you can actually go right into whatever you're going to speak on. And so, you know, you really have to understand what environment you're in, you know, when you are going to speak. If it's a corporation environment, you know, you want to make sure from an etiquette standpoint that you're dressed right. You know, that you have the correct appearance for that situation. You want to make sure you have the correct subject matter for whatever you're going into as far as what you're speaking on. And you got to be comfortable in that subject matter. You got to have, you know, some etiquette as far as your time. Time is one of the biggest etiquettes. You know, if you got, you know, 10 minutes to make an impact, don't take 12. You know, because that ain't good, because you won't
people
come back.
People forget what you said in that first 10 if you go over.
Yeah, right. Try to catch up. You know, right. So, you know, there's probably about, I mean, there's multiple, but, you know, there's four or five, you know, areas that are extremely important, you know, and I would say, you know, appearance and time are probably two of the top. And then, you know, you're making sure that you are on point with your subject matter. And then also making sure you include people in your, you know, the audience in your speech. That's an etiquette, because you don't want to make it seem like you're just talking at them and, you know, and things like that. You want to be able to include certain things, even if they, you know, say something to each other or repeat something back to you. You know, that's a speaker's mm-hmm. etiquette, you know, to include their audience. And so, you know, that is important. And it's interesting because it could be one person one-on-one as your audience, and you include, cause you ask a question to them that they can respond back. That's inclusion. You know, you're cognizant of the how much time you're spending and talking with them. And then one of the things that you really don't want to do is you don't want to put nobody to sleep. You want to have some excitement in your, you know, in the presentation, and you want to let your personality be the excitement for people. They want to be able, like, man, I'm glad. Woo!
I have to tell you, I don't understand any speakers in this day and time who don't want to put some excitement in their presentation. You have to bring the energy. That is
you do,
critical.
But it happens. It happens because their personality is not like that. And they think that is cool. Just, right, you know, right. Be, you know, nah, you got to have some juice on you.
You have to put some, you know, in music where we say, put some stank on it.
Yeah,
you know, put some energy into it. You know, put some, you know, give some people something to perk them up.
when I spoke overseas, you know, I came in on my theme song, you know, and my theme song is banging. A testimony is man, it was the first time I played it overseas, of course. And they like jumped out, they see some dancing on stage. You know, it's like, so, you know, they were already
they
hyped.
They jumped
for me.
Out of their feet?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
man.
Awesome.
Yeah. As soon as that first 16 bars hit, as far as the music, they was dancing. And I'm up here dancing on stage. I come in, you know, I'm throwing shirts in this crowd and all kind of stuff. So, you know, and it changed the whole atmosphere because I was the only one out of the 10 that had the you know, on our team that had music that its own theme song. So it changed the whole atmosphere, and that's what you want to do as a speaker. You want to come in, impact, and change the atmosphere.
You know what? I think that is a great tip, because I think, you know, music is so important. And you know, I just love my theme song. I don't know if you've heard it, but I'm gonna play it for you.
Okay. It's time to run with the SEO queen. Get visibility like never before. The traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. The traffic's gonna explode.
Oh, do you come in on it?
Say that one more time.
Do you come in on that?
You know what? I do. I did during my conference that I just had.
Oh, absolutely.
I use that song during the conference. But this is, I'm glad you mentioned that your song, because how can speakers integrate music into their presentations for more impact?
They got to have music first. A lot of times we're not that creative, because we don't believe that we can infuse it in in what we're doing. You know, my thing is, if your topic matter connects with, like, see, your song connects with your topic matter, which being is SEO queen. Mine is, you know, testimony is, there's a testimony in you, so that it coincides with my topic matter. And a lot of times we can't find something, or we don't find something, or we don't create something that allows us to blend what we speak about with entertainment or the music that goes along with, as far as the theme song. But if you did, how cool is it to come in on your theme song and your theme song is hit?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And the thing that was crazy is that the moment that happens, guess what? Everybody gonna want a theme song, especially if you're a speaker. And that's what happened when I did. They was like, man, I gotta get a speech. You mean you came in on your theme song? Yes. And so, you know, that's where music will come in. And that is one, of course, we know that is one area where everybody connects. Music connects everybody. And so to be impactful or impressive of having a theme song, man, that changes the game.
Yeah, it is a game changer. So what final thoughts would you want to leave with our listeners about from stage fright to stage famous and being impactful when giving a presentation, either virtually or in person?
Great question. Well, great and great ending. You know, one of the things that I shared with in my last presentation overseas, you know, there's several things that an individual can do, and they can actually make an impact, you know, not only on their life, but other people's life. One, they got to have a desire to do something. You know, if you want to speak or start a business or whatever it might be, you got to have the desire to do it, because if you don't, you'll be stuck in the blocks where you're trying to start from. You'll never move, you know, because you don't have a reason to move. So you got to have a desire to do something. Then you got to decide to do it. You know, once you make the decision, then the things start activating because you don't have any excuses, you know. But if you never decide to do that thing, then, you know, you'll try to find all kind of reasons not to start the business or become a speaker, you know, or, you know, a coach, a trainer, a mentor, whatever it might be, you know, that you want to do in life is from your passion or even your purpose. Then, you know, you got to dedicate yourself to it, you know, because a lot of times, even when we decide, we never dedicate ourselves. We never commit. And then if something comes up and slows you down or becomes an obstacle, you give up or you quit. Because you really didn't understand that the dedication part is the one of the most important parts of moving forward in whatever it is that you choose or you're passionate about. And that's going to be extremely important, because the moment, even outside of the desire, the moment you decide to do a specific thing, you're going to get tested to see if it's for real. And that's what we got to clearly understand, is that you will get tested the moment you finish that sentence. And that's why you got to have the dedication, and you got to be determined to do it, because there's going to be some things in life. I shared with somebody the other day, when you go through a tragic situation, you lose three things. You lose support, you lose family, and you lose possessions. And when those things happen, will you have the determination enough to keep going in whatever it is you're doing, even when you lose things? And then, you know, lastly, you got to deliver on it. You know, you got to be able to deliver on what you desired to do, what you decided to do, what you dedicated yourself to do, what you were determined to do. And then when you begin to see yourself deliver on it, it comes with great benefits, comes with great promises. You know, it comes with a lot of pluses, because you've gone from step one to step five. And granted, it could be a bunch of other things. You can put discipline in there and all that kind of stuff. But these five things I would share with individuals, because you will never become a deliverer if you never have a desire. You will never become a deliverer if you never decide to do it. You will never become a deliverer if you don't dedicate yourself. And you'll never become a deliverer if you're not determined to do it. And so those things, I think, are important in people's lives, to be one that desires to do something and get to the point where you can deliver on it.
That's awesome. You shared a lot of great insights. And I said that was my final question, but I have one more question.
Okay.
I have one more question. Is that okay?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. My next question is, I've noticed in your speaking, you use words that either rhyme or start with the same letter. Is that by design?
That is by design. I am considered an acrostic expert in teaching, where I take words and break them down in an acronym type way, or letters that go along. So those I would call those my vitamin D's. But yeah, I'm an acrostic teacher, and I'm an expert in it. It's something that I practice, especially with my video series that I do. I've been doing it for 5+ years, and I've learned to take a word and I can break it down in a matter of minutes. And then, you know, from a spiritual point, is, you know, which is the way I teach, you know, I can add scripture to it as well. But I really think that it's more impactful because it brings simplicity to that word that we don't normally use, or at least look at it as an acrostic. You know, so that's why I do. That's why I teach that way, because it gives me an opportunity to really define words for people that, you know, man, it hits them in a different way that they never thought they would hear it that way.
Yeah, it definitely does. So thank you so much, John McClung Jr. Thank you so much for coming on to the podcast and sharing all about your book, From Stage Fright to Stage Famous. Now, how can people connect with you online?
Well, everything that is from a social media is under two things. It's either under my name, John McClung Jr., or it's under I Am a Testimony. And so that's my IG is I Am a Testimony. You know, on Facebook, I have a Friends of I Am a Testimony, and then of course my John McClung Jr. page. And you know, you can Google John McClung Jr. and it'll show you LinkedIn. It'll show you, you know, all the things that I'm doing, and my website, which really will give you a lot more insight on the things that I'm doing, is johnmcclungjr.com.
Awesome. So thank you so much. Thank you for my coming pleasure. On to the SEO Queen Tech Show.
I appreciate the opportunity to be on your platform. As always, it's a pleasure to see you. You know, we have Long Beach history and we have Detroit history. So, you know, it's
I know you're one of the few people that I know that, I mean, we've literally crisscrossed the country and still stayed in touch.
Still stayed in touch. Yeah, and have watched each other grow in the area of expertise that we have. So that's really cool. Just, you know, I can definitely identify and stamp and say, you know what, this sister started here and she's doing her thing in that same area. And that's cool to be able to do.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for coming on to the show.
Keep doing your thing, girl.
I will. Thank you.
All right.
Time to grow with the SEO queen. Get visibility like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
Completely redesigned Bashani Radio app is hotter than ever. Ever. Now you can binge listen your favorite podcast show. And for those listeners that like to talk trash, excuse me, I mean give feedback. Just tap our new feedback button and run your mouth for 60 seconds. Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store or listen online at BashaniRadio.com.